But I'm not be award.
Well, in Deuteronomy 31.
Above your name.
Yeah, verse 7 and
10. You do what you say.
So you said God is faithful. So that means even if we forsake God, God should not forsake us.
Should not.
If God is faithful, if we forsake him, he should not forsake us. If he is faithful.
Well, is God sovereign?
Yes.
So if, I don't think you should.
Okay. Even if we forsake God, God would not forsake us.
I think you should use that.
Okay.
Should means that you are compelling him. He should not, like, is his obligation. He doesn't have obligation not to. He can decide to do it. He's one that chose not to forsake you.
Okay. So since he's sovereign, he would not.
That's what he chose to do in his sovereignty now. Okay. I'm saying that God could have chosen from Genesis 3 when they sinned that I'm tired of you. I want you to die. But he chose not to do that. He chose to still save them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So God is not compelled. Your love, your love for God is not doing anything to God, though. It's not making God bigger. Do you understand? I mean, you are the littlest to him. We are great self is too stuff. But he chose to. Do you understand? He chooses to not forsake you. He does not have an obligation to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your question.
But this part of scripture is saying, okay.
Then my anger shall be aroused.
Let's start from 17. Then my anger shall kill against them, that I'll forsake them, and I'll hide my face from them, and they shall be bold. And then evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say that they are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not amongst us.
And what did they do?
Us. Rather, they sinned. Yes, they went after the other
gods. And so what happened?
And God said he was going to forsake them.
You have to get what I said. When I said God was going to forsake them, I didn't say you are not going to enjoy the repercussion of what you did.
But even in the
of course, think about it.
Forsake us.
Think about it. When we read why God gave the judges, we said they turned against other gods. Yes. And they started to have evil, started to happen to them in their land. But what did God do? He still raised up somebody to save them. So in spite of that evil that is going to still happen, God is still going to confirm, assure his word and his promises. But does not mean that they are not still going to reap what they have done.
No, I don't have an issue with the consequence.
So in the first second, you're supposed to shield them. Won't you take him for granted like that?
Why would he say we'll
forsake
him? Why would scripture like
Of course, scripture is going to say that. Now God is writing to he's using the evil to write to them, right? And he's going to tell them that if you do evil, I'm going to do evil back to you. I'm going to do evil. Now, of course, I don't know if it's here I told you. Was it here we mentioned presence, absence? Was it here we mentioned as a presence, absence of God? It's not here. Mentioned presence, absence. Presence, absence. Of course, when you do something, let me give you a very good example so that you get it. I felt like I not to cross the road. Tega crosses the road. A car hits her.
Is this place?
A car hits Tega. Was I the one responsible for that?
No.
Eh? But do you know I could have actually shielded her like this and said, don't cross. But she chose to do it. So she reaped her repercussion of it. So the Hebrew guys will say that act that she did, I had the saving power of saving her, but I chose not to, and so she was destroyed. That's what I'm saying. But the destruction is still based on our own action or will. My own responsibility will now be to ensure that I restore her from what she's doing. Of course, you will tell them that. I wasn't waiting for you to even mention the Trump 31. The Trump 28 to that mentions all the causes. You know those courses in Genesis 28?
Yes.
And then when you just get Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The man is like, well, from the Genesis chapter 28. When you read the content of Genesis 28, it was saying that if you choose not to continue with my covenant, you are going to be cursed. Of course, why are they going to be cursed? Because the original plan from the beginning is blessing, which we both read together. God's covenant is on blessing, right? Blessing is righteousness. Right? Multiplication. You choose not to continue with that covenant again. What is the opposite of blessing? You are going to be cursed. The same thing happened for Cain too. Bible says that after Cain had killed God called him and said, why did you kill your brother? He said, blah, 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 blah. Am I supposed to be my brother's keeper? He disobeyed God. Bible says that he was cursed and was removed away from the earth. Of death. Of course, that's metaphorical to explain that was away from the promise of God. But God will now still want to restore us back. I mean, there's no point for mention using words like deliverance, salvation, if you did not enter something now. You know, when we use the word salvation, you are saved from something. It means you entered something. I delivered you from something. We use the word church, ecclesia. You are called from somewhere. You by yourself saw light. You said, no, I'm a child of darkness. Do you understand? And you enter into darkness. Then you enter light, yeah. But of course, we God forsake his people. Think about it. From Genesis into Revelation, it was consistent and committed now. But of course, people reap the consequence of what they did now. We're not saying God does not. We're not saying when you do something, you're not going to. You're not ready. Okay. It's like somebody commits murder now. Think about it. And the person is a child of God. Is God still with the person?
Yes.
Eh? Of course not. But what is going to happen? He is in going to the jail. No. Surprise, surprise! I don't like for that one. It belongs to you.
I'm kidding.
Okay, so let's look at what Christology means. Now, Christology is the part of theology that is concerned with the nature, the work of Jesus. It's concerned with the nature. The work of Jesus. The work of Jesus, including such matters such as the incarnation, the resurrection, his human and divine nature, and such as his incarnation, the resurrection, his human and divine nature. So there are two things we establish in Christology. Number one, the divinity of Jesus. Number two, the humanity of Jesus. So let me go again. Christology is the part of theology that is concerned with the nature and the work of Jesus, including such matters such as the incarnation, the resurrection, the human and divine natures, and his human and divine nature. So we said there are two things we establish in Christology. Number one, the humanity of Jesus. Number two is what? The deity. The deity of Jesus. Let's see John 1:1. John 1:1. So, Christology is based on two things: the deity, the finality. Of Jesus and the what? The deity. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus is God? So we can know how many Muslims we have here. How many of us believe? Now, it's going to be very important. How many of you believe that Jesus was created by God? How many of you believe that when Jesus Christ was on earth, he was human? But you, I must believe that when it was on earth, it was both human and divine. I must believe that it was both human and divine, but when he died, his divinity left him. Divinity left him. Then when he was raised from the dead, his divinity came back. Jesus is God. Yes, do that. He's God. Why is he God? There are things that, because I'm really excited because we're going there very soon. You know what's going to say now? I don't always give you a final answer. I'll pause listening to you. You believe that When Jesus Christ came into the earth, who was in heaven?
God.
Who was God? And so who was on earth?
God.
And okay, so is Jesus God? How does it believe Jesus is God? Raise your hand. Okay, great. How does it believe that when Jesus was on earth, he was human? How does it believe that he was just human when he was on earth? He was human alone. He released all the superpowers. Wine. Ask Arigo. I also believe he was both divine and human when he was on it. He was 100% God. He was 100%. I do believe that. Yes. You know, you already said he was purely human. Is there any proponent for only human? Nobody. I can also say it was 50% God, 100% man. It was 50% God, 50% man. It was 100% God, 100% man. Raise your hand. It was 100% God. I'm going to say that when Jesus died, his divinity left him. So he was just human. In his death, he was just human. He died as a man. So we give praise to God, the man who died for man. Raise your hand now. You don't know the song. Wait, you don't know the song?
I don't know the song.
We don't sing it. Did he die as a man?
Yes.
Hey, raise your hand now. Don't be shy now. Jesus is here. He's here with us.
Okay,
so where is Jesus now? Yeah. These are questions that you ask me in evangelism. Where is Jesus now? In your heart. Like, where is the body of Jesus? Come on.
Heaven.
Heaven. Where is heaven? So all these questions I asked you are proponents of Christology. And they are based on the credence of the humanity and what? Divinity of Jesus. Remember where we started from? We said whether you eat, you drink, it is the Lord who condemns. Because we are going there very soon. So there are people who believe I went to that very interesting people. There are people who believe that Jesus Christ was adopted. No, they don't eat anything. There are people who also believe that. I'm going to say believe that.
Hello, Daddy. Hello, Daddy. No. No. What'd you say? I don't know the first one.
Because Christianity is from Trinity now, is it not true? I want to talk about theology.